Go ahead.
Okay, it's 6:30, and I call the meeting to order, and I ask people to rise to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
Pledge
allegiance
allegiance to the flag
to the flag of the
of
United States
America
of America
and to
and
the
to the Republic
for
for
which
which
it
it stands,
stands,
one
one
nation,
nation, under God, indivisible, with
with
liberty and
liberty and
justice for all.
justice for all.
Okay, I'm going to call the roll. Bob Lisy.
Here.
Greta Sexton.
Here.
Linda Fusco, I'm here, so we have a quorum. And I'm going to skip item number four, approval of minutes. I don't have them. This was sort of kind of, is Colin here, by the way?
I see just Maria and Dawn.
Okay. Right, I'm just
I
going to
sent
take a
him
minute
the
to check.
information today. He asked for it.
I emailed it to him. He said he had it. Okay, but thank you.
No problem. Maybe he's just running a couple minutes late.
Yeah, I'm just going to text him. Under old business, Maria, could you give us an update, please, from Imagineers?
Sure.
Yeah, you have to have the if you have to have the public portion first.
Is there anyone here from the public who wishes to speak? Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak?
I'm here, Linda.
Yes.
What I pass.
Oh, Joyce?
Yep.
All right, so let the minutes reflect that Joyce Palmer is here. She's a resident at CC Manor, but you choose not to speak?
No, not right now. I'm all set.
Okay, all right, thank you so much. So last call, anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Hearing none, we'll close that portion and we'll move on to old business. Maria, if you would talk to us about what's going on.
Okay. Well, the latest news in regards to the funding is that Derby is in a shortfall. And we're working with the shortfall prevention team at HUD. And what that means is that we have to do some cost savings protocols because HUD did not fund the program to what it needed to be funded. So right now we've got to go into this. Cost saving measures. And basically, what that means is that it's not as aggressive. So, we're not issuing any vouchers. We're not absorbing anybody onto the program. And anybody's voucher that is due to expire, and a lot of them that were issued, were given ample opportunity to look for, and use their voucher. And, so that's basically what is going on. Now, this is a nationwide type of situation. We monitor what the funding level is on a monthly basis. We use HUD's two-year tool and all of that. And all along, all of the housing authorities were expecting to be refunded at last year's rate, and that didn't happen. And it's a greater problem with HUD, and with a lot of the different housing authorities here. We administer soon to be 12 different housing authorities, and out of the 12, there's six of them that are in a shortfall status. Okay, there's according to the shortfall prevention team, there's even a housing authority that has that is short, like $40 million. That's not the case with Derby. And
Got
what we're doing will, will help in that regard. We've got anywhere between 30 and 60 days to do what HUD is asking us to do, not issue any vouchers, not absorb. So we're thinking that we're going to be just fine. And HUD is meeting separately Because, like I said, it's more of a national type of situation here. Nothing that the housing authority has created and would have been privy to. It was in on May 8th that HUD sent out the letters of funding levels, 5 months into the year. So that's the latest. We're thinking that we're going to be just fine. And then, does anybody have any questions in regards to that?
I do have one in that since we're working on the budget, is this going to impact our budget?
Okay, when you're saying that you're working on your budget, sorry. Okay. Well,
Alexa, stop.
Okay.
It's so, really
sorry.
Sorry.
So you're asking, HUD is asking us not to spend money for 30 to, what was
no,
it,
no, no.
60 days?
No, 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 no. That's when they're going to come back to us and see what those levels are. You know, we have people that, you know, drop off of the program, or, you know, their income changes. So we'll be taking a look at that. They're also looking on their levels where they're going to be pulling money from. Okay. Because the objective is not to terminate any people from the program. No, we're going to keep. We're going to keep paying, you know, the landlords and, you know, reimbursing the tenants for their utilities. But yeah, for right now, it's kind of the cost saving measures is just that, like not putting anybody else onto the program. Okay.
Okay.
But just
okay,
working.
So don't take
just
anybody
working,
new.
Right. Just working
okay.
with the budget that HUD is sending us right now, and there's reserves, you know, that we could pull from. But we're projecting out all the way to December, right? Because HUD funds us on calendar year. And so for right now, that's basically what's going on, is that we're not putting anybody else onto the program. We're not absorbing anyone. There for a while we were. Because, you know, HUD wanted us to, you know, make sure we were using all the money, and we were expecting to be fully funded. And that's just not the case. And, you know, midstream, almost half the year has gone by when now HUD wants us to, you know, put the brakes on and just do everything in our power to make sure that we're not terminating anybody from the program. And that's really never happened. Back in 2016, there was a sequester, and that was a very critical one, and we got through it. Nobody got terminated from the program. So, but there were these cost-saving measures, and it's just that, you know, right now you're not really basically putting anybody onto the program. And anyone that leaves, we're not replacing that spot through attrition.
Are all our vouchers out?
Not all of them, because HUD has never really funded the program completely. So there's two levels that a housing authority needs to pay attention to. One is budget utilization, and the other one is unit utilization. And you have to be at 95 or above, you know, to meet that CMAP score. You know, and be a high performing housing authority, and that's always the goal. So right now, you know, it's a little over the 100%, which is fine for Derby. You know, the unit utilization, where I don't have that report because I'm home right now, but I want to say that maybe we're at the unit. The budget utilization is a little bit over 100%, and the budget authority is a little over 100%, and the unit utilization, those are the vouchers that have been assigned to the housing authority. It's called the ACC, the annual contributions contract with HUD, and Derby right now is at 292. That is That is the amount of people that, HUD has allowed for the housing authority to assist. You're not there. We can't get to that amount because the budget, the money, is not enough to, hit that number. But we're hitting the budget utilization at more than 100%.
Okay,
If that makes
so
sense.
this really affects only HUD and the Section 8 program. It doesn't affect state elderly, correct? Or young
Correct.
disabled.
Correct.
Okay. So this doesn't impact the current budget that we're going to approve tonight, which is the state elderly, correct, Don? That
Correct.
this is the state elderly.
What was the state and Section 8? We have both.
Okay, so Marie, you don't have a copy of the budget.
No.
Can you tell us how much we got as opposed to what we got in the past?
I don't have that number, but I could get that for you when I go back to work tomorrow.
Okay.
I
And
didn't.
because it,
we haven't changed the budget. It's the same as it was the previous year.
Right, but it's sounding to me like what Maria is saying is we got less money this year from
Well,
the
yeah.
federal government
Right,
than we did.
for the HCV program, for the budget authority that HUD, sends out. And they're doing what they end up doing is that they take a look at a 3 month prior utilization or budget utilization and then make those determinations. And they were just completely off across the board. Something ended up happening, and part of it is the proration factor. And they're off, like nothing that we could have controlled. So they're working, and the shortfall prevention team, and it's actually a very good guy there, Nehemiah Johnson, and he can't speak on what they're doing, but HUD is at the table talking about what they're going to end up doing for all of these housing authorities now that you're not providing that proration factor where they originally had announced that yes, we were going to get the same amount of monies, that was there from last year. When we're pulling money, I mean, we're able to meet those that the obligations, through what's in the reserves. But what we're concerned about is what happens toward the end of the year. And by then, HUD would have figured out all of this. And we're meeting back with them. Now it's probably been about 3 weeks since we met. And because there's, that the shortfall prevention team is working with a lot of housing authorities, usually it's like 30 days out that they come back and say, hey, let's take a look at what that money, what the fluctuations in that and in those monies are. Where have you been able to make those cost savings, impacts, and then figure out, okay, this is what needs to happen for next month. But we're, right now we're okay. But what the issue is that we want to be okay, in December as well.
Right, for the whole year. So Don, which numbers here apply to apply to the HUD money, the Section 8 money?
Section 8. Does everybody have the budget?
Yes.
Okay,
M
so
Maria does. Sorry, Maria doesn't, but everybody else does.
Maria, you want me to send it to you?
Yeah, oh yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
was trying to see if I had one from last month.
Got to give me a minute because I had a hard time finding it tonight.
Okay. I'm looking through my bag here to see if I have anything even from last month that I could point to. And
Okay.
I'm gonna also see what I have in my email.
I found it. Here we go. Okay, I just sent it to you.
Yeah, sometimes it takes like a little bit.
I know. Okay, so if you look at the year to date budget, it breaks down state elderly and HCV.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what we're looking for, but if you look at the actual budget, it shows what it actually was last year.
Correct.
So we have last year we had the actual at 302,786 for admin fees for Section 8, but the budget was only 288,886. And then less Imagineers fees, which were higher. Pretty much everything actually was higher except for poured out.
Okay, and so that contributed to a loss of income in the
Yeah,
budget, correct?
it did.
By about
Oh, the budget was the net income at the end of the budget was 8,700, and the actual was 4,500 or 45,000, I'm sorry. So it was huge difference.
Wait a minute, you lost me there. So the balance at the HCV at the end of the year was 8731, but you're just saying it was actually 4,500, 45,000.
45,000, yeah. Yeah, because the
So
budget for the 12 months was a total expense of only 34,000, but the actual was 32. But the actual income, well, no, so it was better. The actual income was better.
Right.
Everything turned, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. So we actually did better. Okay. So
Yeah.
we need to know from Maria then what we're getting that we know we're getting. Correct? Because we can't assume that we're getting the $288,886,000.
Yeah, and I don't have our figures here. I mean, it almost seems correct here, but like I said, I don't have that. I'm trying to see in my email what we had here. Let's see.
Just want to let you know, Khaled is in. So, Khaled has joined us. For
Yes.
those of you who haven't met him, Khaled is our new subsidized housing coordinator.
Hi, Khaled.
Welcome.
Everyone. Thanks for having me.
Hi.
So, Khaled, who you haven't met yet is Maria Stout. Maria is one of our liaisons to the Imagineers program. And what she's
Yes.
telling us is that across the nation, people got, municipalities got less money. Some municipalities got less money. We happen to be one of them. We're trying to figure out what the difference is. And they've been told how to manage the budget, like don't take port ins, which means people are coming from another town into your town. you take their Section 8 vouchers. We're not to do that.
Well, not to absorb it, Linda. Not to absorb them, not take it onto our program. We're still administering them. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And did you say there's another cost saving measure too?
Yeah, so we're not issuing vouchers. And then the vouchers that were on the street, which weren't that many, I want to say that they were maybe like two of them. Once the expiration of the voucher has lapsed, we're not reissuing those.
Okay.
So again, it's basically not putting any new people onto Derby's
into the programs. Okay.
Yeah, into their voucher program. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah. So I have a number here for like the actual I'll work on this, Linda, for tomorrow and get that over to you. But it looks like $271,524. That was for April. Now, let me just see if there's any other number that I could pull here.
So you're saying this is the amount that we get for the year?
Well, for like in the month of April, that's what the HAPs were, the actual HAPs were. See, I don't have like what HUD sent, but I'm just basing it on like April's and what the actual HAP amounts were for the month of April. Mm-hmm. It's 271,000. So your number of 288,000. Is what I saw, correct?
Right, yes. So we're about 60,000 off.
Yeah, but see, this is I don't know from what month that is. So we have to see. I'm giving you the number for the actual apps for the month of April. So Dawn,
okay.
You took that figure from. But is it just the average so far, year to date?
That figure came from Imagineers.
Okay. Okay.
So let me see if I can find out what you actually got.
Yeah.
Nope, because it didn't come in April. So let me look in. Maybe it came in the end of March.
Yeah, and you would get, you get those funding notices, correct? Because then we don't get it directly. So it's usually either Zuri sending it or.
I go off of the bank account. I don't get any funding notices.
Oh, okay.
And Zuri hasn't been here since May 10th, so they didn't college didn't exist until about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but Zuri never sent me any funding notices. I took it right off of the bank account.
Okay.
If there was a funding notice coming across to me, does anybody know where I would be able to locate that?
Well, right now, that would come directly from HUD.
Okay.
So, Linda, then I would need to change you and put college, right?
As
the ED. So I will, I'm putting this down as a to-do. Okay.
If your to-do list looks like anything like mine, it's about 12 miles long. So I will get it when you get to me. I would appreciate it.
Oh, definitely. So I will actually, after this meeting, I am going to add that, change it. So then you'll end up getting it. And what I could do, I could send you maybe something from the last time that Zuri maybe sent that.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be the
so
best
that way
bet.
You know what it looks like, and then it would need to come to us so that we could do all those projections as well.
Perfect.
And I'll
Could you share it with me too, Khalid, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you. So I see in March where you got, I don't see April. I see March. I'll check May in a minute. But in March, they got 251, 505.
251? Okay, so that's like 35,000 or 36,000.
But then you sent out 292,479.
Yeah, so that's where the fluctuations are. It's whatever's happening, you know, with people's incomes, or, you know, did we add people? Did we absorb? You'll start to see those numbers hopefully drop down. And you know, hence the cost saving measures, you know, in place. You know, and sometimes, you know, there's we hold back because maybe the landlord hasn't submitted information or the tenant hasn't recertified. So that check goes on hold, and then once, you know, folks do what they need to do, then, or, you know, if there's something that's happened in that unit, then we abate. You know, so there's all of these different variables, you know, so there's going to be, it's never going to be the same amount, as you know, but there's all of those fluctuations. But I'm gonna get that for you, and I'll send it tomorrow, and then that way you could share it with, you know, all the other folks there. So go
sure.
on
and thank call. You.
Okay.
Okay. So, is there anything else we should talk about?
Yeah.
Aside from this, okay.
Yeah. So one thing was the Inspire. So remember, that is HUD's new platform for doing inspections, completely different from the housing quality standards known as HQS. Mm-hmm. HUD has postponed that for another year. So, you know, we had sent out information to landlords, just getting them ready for that new platform. So I don't know if we'll get calls and it's like, hey, what's going on? What's doing, you know, what is this all about? We were trying to feed as much information to landlords so that they're prepared for, you know, the new way of how we're going to be doing these inspections. And now we're going to be sending out another letter that says, hey, you know, you still need to start preparing. You still will, you know, this is still happening, but now you have a little bit of a reprieve for another year, you know, and there's certain mandates that, you know, the hardwired, you know, smoke detector and the carbon monoxide, you know, detectors, that hasn't changed any. But all the other stuff and how we're doing inspections have been postponed until October of 2025. So, and then the next thing is just the FSS program. So I'd wanted us to close out, you know, last year's FSS, you know, they, and we weren't privy to this because we've never done this, but we helped out as much as we could here.
Right.
And Linda, you were very helpful, and Dawn and Diane. So we were able to send them those certifications that, hey, you know, everything was done under that grant as it should have been. And this is the amount of money that was left over from the grant. You know, and that's what ends up happening too. Like, so, and HUD is pushing for that because of the shortfall as well. They're trying to like say, okay, here's money from this program that wasn't used so that they could use it for these offsetting measures on their end. You know, if somebody has like...
That we didn't have to give that $29,000 back, right?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little on my end.
I'm sorry. I said, my understanding from talking to Duan was that we didn't have to give the money back, correct? So that was kind of a wash.
Oh. Okay, I wasn't. Well, I'm not sure if I understood that part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other thing that she had talked about, right, was that It wasn't the award. The award was for like this year, I guess. It wasn't not from this year,
Correct.
but wasn't accepted.
That's right. That's right. Because we didn't have anybody, and it actually, you know, if you can stay on as we move through the agenda, our under new business item B is discussion and possible action as to whether or not we want to ask HUD to continue the FSS grant. So I think it will be helpful if you would stay on, and you know, because you all for a short period of time did services for us, and you know what the numbers look like. And so if you could talk about that, it would be helpful.
Okay. Did you want me to do that now, or are you going on to the next business item?
Well, you know, so that I don't have to, so I didn't have to keep you on the phone for a very long time.
Okay.
I'm just going to talk about this for a minute, if it's all right with everybody. So when I came on board, we had an FSS program of family support services. The point of the program is to help people become better in their lives. So if they had a job and they were on Section 8 and they had children, whatever, they would take a certain amount of their funds and put them in an escrow account, and HUD would match it. And it would just go on and on and on until as long as the person stayed on the program and as long as they stayed employed. And at the end of the time, when they were ready to move off the program and rely solely on their income, then they would ask for the money. And sometimes people would put it down as a deposit on a house, or they would put it toward a car or their child's college tuition. It was a very wonderful program. When COVID hit, I think even pre-COVID, it's a hard sell because people don't want to. There were expectations. You know, you would come to the office, there would be group meetings once a month, there would be programs, you know, like how to write a resume, you know, how to ask your boss for a raise, how to get other entitlements. So there were expectations that there would be programs offered. When COVID hit, now, up until the time of COVID, Laura Wadner was running the program, and we were never at the number we were supposed to be. The number for part-time position funding was 15, and for full-time position funding was 25. We were almost never at 15, but I would say that, you know, they gave us, they still were giving us the money until the year before COVID. And they said, hey, guys, you know, Derby, you're just not making your numbers, and we're cutting you to part-time. At which point, that's when Laura said, I'm going to leave. And we asked Imagineers to take over the program because we didn't have any staffing. I think Shana had just come in. She didn't have a clue. I certainly didn't know. So we asked Imagineers, we handed over that program, and then COVID hit. And the next year they said, hey, you know what? We're giving everybody, you know, we're not going to hold you responsible for low numbers because nobody's coming out to meetings. People are barely getting to work because what's closed down and what's not closed down. So we're going to give you all full-time funding. So we hired Nicole, and y'all know what happened. That didn't seem to work out. I'm still not clear what happened, other than Zuri very spontaneously, without board approval, certainly not without discussing with me, let Nicole go. And I said to her, you need to call Dwan. You need to tell her what you've done, you know, because we have money. We're going to owe them a lot of money. We should put an ad in the paper. And I think she had an idea then that she was leaving. She said, you know what, Linda, I don't think it's going to do any good. You know, I'll just call Dwan. And she said she did. So one of the things that I want to talk about is, should we maintain it? Because they have given us money. I don't even know how much it is. I don't know if it's a full-time. I doubt it. It's probably part-time money. But we haven't accepted it. You know, you have to go into their computer and you have to accept it so that the money comes to you. We have not done that. And so that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you all about that's on the agenda item. Maria, so that I can let you go, can you just talk a little bit about your experience with our FSS program?
Yeah, so there is a lot of recruitment that needs to happen. You know, the other part of it is not hard, you know, meeting with the clients and all of that, but it's the interest and the population for to be able to qualify for an FSS participant. And historically, it like Linda has reported, it's never been, you've never hit that number, that 25, you know, number. And then that brings down your CMAP score, but it's been difficult. And just with the population, you know, of the program participants, where you it almost seems nearly impossible to hit, you know, 15, you know, let alone the 25. You know, we've tried, we've done, you know, we you know, while we were helping out, you know, we did our due diligence to try to get more participation, but like I said, it's nearly hard, and it happens a lot in a lot of the different programs. Currently, there are six participants from the Derby program that are active FSS participants. So, you know, we would need to honor their contract of participation. I think the latest, the latest one that goes out is like in 2028, you know, where they meet those three goals, because part of their contract of participation is that they have three goals and attainable goals. And they would need to meet those goals in order to then be able to withdraw, you know, that escrow amount. But it has been a challenge. It doesn't happen just to Derby. It happens to a lot of different, you know, housing authorities as well. And you know, there has to be interest. And you know, there's caveats for it, and you know, people will start, and then some of the people just say, "Look, I just want to be on the Section 8 program. I'm fine." You know, some of them will leave money on that table. You know, and with the new regulations that ended up happening, there, whatever money is forfeited from other participants, it goes into a bigger pool, and then it's split amongst, you know, the people that are still active in the FSS program. But currently, that is the state that there's six out of the 25 slots, there's six. So it's not performing like HUD would want it to perform.
And the reason that Imagineers gave us back the program is because one of the HUD requirements was that you have a person who does nothing else. That this is their job, whether you get part-time money or full-time money, you can't have. And Imagineers couldn't take one person off their payroll and say, "Okay, you're going to handle these six cases." It just didn't make sense. So they gave it back to us, and we weren't able to maintain it. So that's kind of where we were. Does anyone have questions for Maria? Because if you do, let's ask them so we can let her go, and then we'll continue on with the rest of the meeting.
No, I just want to say that I do have an email to respond to you, Maria, so we can set up our meeting to meet sometime next week, and I will be on that tomorrow, and I will be in contact with you.
Okay. Maria, I think you can go. I always appreciate your time and your knowledge. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome, and thank you for this opportunity. And I'll follow up on those two things that I've got to do here. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Have a great evening.
You too.
All
You
righty.
too.
Thank
Thanks.
you.
Bye-bye.
So we're done with old business. We're going to move on to new business discussion and possible action on proposed 2024-2025 budget. Everyone's had a chance to look at it. Dawn, do you want to say a few words about it?
I didn't really change anything. I kept
Okay.
everything pretty much the same.
Okay, well, my co-patriots here need to hear some of the things that I did from you. For example, how we budgeted 45,000 for material and ended up spending $100,000. We were over in rent, in utilities. We were over in telephones. Help me here. You know it better than I.
Well, it was mostly maintenance materials. I mean, that okay. was an audit. Audit was a little bit over, but not horribly compared to what you had budgeted. So it wasn't horribly bad, but maintenance was the worst.
Right. Right. And I'm hoping that we have a handle on that now. In terms of, you know, those of you who have been on for a while, you know that Pat Buell has been doing it. It's probably time after this one to issue another RFP. And I think he was the only one who bid, which is how he got the contract. But he'd been doing it for the Housing Authority for a long time. He went up significantly on his rates last year. He said he hadn't gone up in a while, and so he kind of made up for it. And he's about to start. He's about to start this year's audit as well. So
yeah, I've already started sending him info.
Okay. So whatever he charged last year, it's not going to be any less. I can tell you that. Now, okay. So also on this is Pilot, $75,000. That's the money that that we pay the city in lieu of taxes. And last year, it wasn't paid. And when I asked Zori about it, she said it was because she didn't get a bill and she forgot about it. So it's $69,000 for last year. It's going to be $69,000 for this year. It's a lot of money that we owe on the pilot. But this year, it's got to go. I mean, we've got to make at least one payment, without a doubt. We budgeted 75. You know, I'll get the total. It's going to be 69,000. It's got to go. There's no getting around it. Anything else that you want to point out, Dawn?
Nothing off of the top of my head. I mean, you're going to expect more in utilities because it's just outrageous.
Right.
There's not much you can do about that. Nobody's salaries have really changed. No benefits have changed.
Correct. Correct.
Linda, you said that health insurance wasn't paid either.
That's what I was told. I'm going to get a dollar amount because okay. I'm not sure that the old figure she had given me was quite accurate because, I mean, when you think about it, there were only two people full on medical, and I want to say the maintenance guys were, they might only be taking dental. They might have medical from someplace else. I will get you the figure, but yes, that was a problem, that medical insurance wasn't paid. We have an outstanding bill from, we had a legal notice in the paper for an RFP for a lawn guy and a snow guy. And they're always costly. They're, I don't know, 200 something. And the wrong dates were put in and they have to be reposted. Sadly, they have to be reposted. But I know we have to pay that bill. And the good news is that Khalid actually got into the bank system today.
Oh, yay!
So, yeah. It's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, very good. It's been a while. We're trudging along slowly in the office. I'm trying to get everything together so we can just have smooth sailing. It's going to be a bumpy rest of the month, but we're going to, like...
But you know what? You've done really well so far. I threw
honestly,
a bunch
thank you so
at
much
you
for saying that. That makes me
when you got really here, so you did good.
Yeah. No.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Study, I have to say. So,
All right. Does anyone have any questions about the budget for Dawn?
You know, Linda, yeah, I do. I mean, I've been a little quiet here only because the conversations between Maria and Dawn were frustrating to me. And I think there needs to be more communication.
Okay.
And it needs to be clarified before, you know, before we vote on the budget. But I know what we have to do, but it is, you know, frustrating coming from, you know, where we've been. Mm-hmm. And we just need better communication regarding that budget. And it was frustrating for me to hear the back and forth and, you know, not having this figure. And well, I think it's 200, you know, it's just frustrating. And we can't have that.
Can I say Understood. Something? I think a lot of that has to do that the position I'm currently in has been vacant for so long. So the communication really has fallen off between all the branches of this team. And I'm really trying to build that bridge back at the moment. So I hear your frustration, but I want to let you know I'm trying to mitigate that going forward in the future.
Cal, it's certainly, you know, it's certainly something you stepped into.
Yeah, certainly. Both shoes, friend.
Yeah, both shoes heavy. And, you know, what we've gone through in the last 3 months, you know, especially Linda and I with what has gone on with our personnel is really just, it's sad, you know, but we need that communication and going forward, let's see what we can do to clarify that.
Absolutely.
Sure. So, you know, I know Loretta, you don't have a car, but those of us who do, Colin can probably count on his left hand how many times I've actually been over there, because some days I get really overwhelmed. I'm not ashamed to say it. But anybody who's got a car in time to pop in and say, Khaled, how you doing? Diana, when she comes back from vacation, how are you doing? I think just to see our faces, maybe Loretta, I know you like to walk when it cools down. Maybe you can get a
when
ride.
When it cools down, yeah, I'll be down there.
Awesome. Yeah, just doors always open for everyone, obviously. Totally.
Yeah, you know, we're not abandoning you. We respect what you're doing. We're grateful for what you're doing. We're just going to pop in and let you know we're here for you. I think it would go a long way.
That's fully appreciated. Mm-hmm.
So, John, let me ask you about the budget. Oh, well, wait a minute. Yes, okay, so we're on the budget. So, are we in a position to be able to vote, or do we need that other figure? I know we're late.
We're very late.
Are we able to say something like we approve the budget pending?
Can we amend the budget, Dawn, after a vote?
Yeah. If you want to amend it, just let me know. But you got to let me know before I submit it to CHFA.
Okay. And what date should that be in by?
That should have been in by March.
That's the one we missed. Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like pretty much as soon as the budget gets voted on, you're gonna try to submit it as soon as possible. So we should be pretty sure.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
So that means if we wait until tomorrow, we're going to have to throw a special meeting together to approve the budget.
Here's my question.
If
we approve the budget tonight, we can certainly amend it after that.
Well,
I'm not really sure how to amend it with CHFA. I would have to look into that. I've never had to do that. It gets approved before the date, and then I send it in. I'm sure I can look into how to amend it.
Okay.
No one's ever actually done that before.
So, well, like, CHFA is the last step of the budget. Once it's voted on and you send it, that's pretty much the last step.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
So, what is it that you want to change, Bob?
No, I mean, I'm just concerned about, you know, how solid some of the figures are. You know, utilities, I understand. Certainly, there's not much we can do, but we got to make sure about, you know, the health insurance costs. If those are solid, fine. Things like that. It's just, if you're sure, then I'm good.
The budget hasn't changed at all since the previous year.
Mm. I saw that.
Well, I mean, the thing is we can
up certain things if you want, but I'm not really sure you'll be able to afford it. There's a lot of catch up right now.
There is a whole lot of catch up.
Yes, yeah. There is.
Even reliable technologies, they're saying they're not caught up by a lot. So, I mean, that's another discussion for another day, but you're right, there's a lot of catch up. So, do you want to approve it with the understanding that when Maria comes back tomorrow with the figures, if it makes a substantial change, that we'll approve it with an amendment?
I do have a question, Linda.
Okay.
Insurance for Derby. With everything that has happened, do you think that's going to go up?
I don't know. I mean, nothing ever. Well, I'm trying to think. And you're talking about insurance for the program. Insurance? Are you talking? You're not talking health insurance. You're talking about cyber insurance,
right?
Fire insurance,
the business, the liability insurance, all of that insurance, not health insurance. Considering the last couple of things that have happened, I'm not sure if they're going to increase it or, I mean, you're not really using it, but knowing what's going on, might want to reach out and check with your insurance company to make sure there's not going to be any change. I haven't seen an insurance bill yet.
I know that this year there were two claims. One was it all stems from the back of Steiger Terrace because there's a heavily wooded area with old trees. And there's no way you can get down there and cut all the trees down. You just can't do it. So we had an arborist go out and look, and he pointed out a couple of old trees. And we cut some, but then others went down. So we had that, there was damage to somebody's garage and damage to the front of somebody's truck. Now, last week, I think, college, I sent you one. Another tree went down and damaged somebody's fence.
With their back fence, yeah.
Yep, the back fence. And the insurance company showed up. They cleaned everything up. I don't know that they have addressed the fence, but I know that there's, like, those two issues. I know you're talking about the other issues, Dawn.
Right.
But... on those other issues, no insurance claims have been made.
Right. So I don't think that they're going to do anything on that. But
correct. And you know, like I said, the damage claims that we made really didn't amount to a lot. I don't think.
No, they were minor. They were minor, Linda.
Yeah, we actually went out. We paid to cut some trees down, which I'm sure increased the maintenance as well. John, I think that's going to be okay.
Okay. other feelings on it?
I think we should pass it, Linda.
All right. So can I have that in the form of a motion then?
I'll make a motion. We adopt the budget year 24-25.
I'll second. Oh, any? All right. Loretta seconded. Is there a discussion on the motion? I'm so sorry about my dog. I don't know who's out there walking. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Motion carried. So then we'll move on to the issue of whether or not to accept the to accept the money for the grant that would reopen an FSS program in Derby. For me, honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I pretty much said that to Dwan. I said, because Dwan was told by a former employee that this board had made a decision to do away with it. That never happened.
No.
Or correct me if I'm wrong. Did we take a vote to do away with the FSS program in the past?
I don't recall that.
No.
No. It just didn't. So the money was given to us, and it's sitting in an account. We would have to open that account up and withdraw the money. But it would also mean that we would have to hire a staff person who may or may not be experienced in FSS or in HUD procedures, who would have to be trained, and they would have to be overseen by college. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but I just think we have not been successful. And to start with a brand new subsidized housing coordinator and bring someone else on to run this program with such limited success. I mean, I think we're going to have to figure out what to do with those five people that are there and talk about how we can get them the money, how we can make it right with them. But I don't know that we need to hire a whole. That's just my thoughts. I'm open to discussion here.
No, I was just thinking about the people that are already in the program. Would it be fair to them to just cancel on them?
I would.
That's
really
what I'm
have
thinking
to
too, because I know there's one. I've been in conversations with one of the participants, and she's like towards the end of the program, and she's trying to figure out what her next step is. And obviously, I don't have all the answers for her at the moment. I wonder if it's a thing that you don't sign up for this next fiscal year, is it something that we can, I don't know, once we're back on the horse correctly, look at again in the future? Because some people are in the program and like it, from what I can hear.
Right. All right.
I think that's a good idea, Linda. I think we do need to certainly take care of the clients that are in the program now. But we can suspend it, maybe, and ask whether or not we can. I think Khaled's idea was very good. Let's see if we could pick it back up again when we're on better footing.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
What if we were to call those people in, the five that are active, and sit down with them, see how committed they are. You know, do they want to stay in? How they feel about it? And then maybe we can, you know, we can go back and look and just run it for them. I don't think you can just run it for them. I think you're going to have to.
Because we need 15, you said, right? At least 15?
For part-time funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's for the people who are involved, I think it's a nice program. It's worth exploring, but fully like exploring how to like make it right with the people in it, put all of our other ducks in a row, and then readdress the program as a whole later.
That makes a lot of sense. So maybe that's a conversation. Maybe I'll try calling Dwan tomorrow and see who can sit down and talk to at least a few of us about how we can make it right for people. You know, do we just empty out the escrow accounts? do we split it, or, you know, and for somebody who's really interested in saying, can we send them, for example, if Shelton had a program, or if Ansonia had a program, can we send them to a nearby town
right.
to administer and pay that town out of the money that we were given? I don't know.
I think it's a good conversation worth having.
All right. So do you want to pass on this until next month? And we'll gather more information. College can talk to the FOP. I can talk to HUD and see where we can go with this.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's
a good idea.
Yes.
All right. Can I have that in the form?
What do you need me to say?
College, you can't. It's got to be one of the commissioners.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So I'll make a motion then that we, College will talk to the five, kind of give them an overview of what's going on, find out their commitment to the program, their level of commitment. I will talk to HUD and ask, if we decide not to go forward, can we find these people another place to be serviced until we're back on our feet, or what do we do to make it right for them? That's the motion.
I'll second.
I second. Right. Oh.
Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. So the next piece is a subsidized housing coordinator's report. And Colin, I'm not going to ask you to, we all got financials from Dawn. We get them awesome. Every month. Mm-hmm. And we usually include them. So off the top of your head, do you know how many openings we have at each site?
I think there is 10 total. I don't know the site breakdown, but there's 10 open units total that are being as far as I know, as of right now, still being turned over.
Correct. It's been an issue. You know, we have two gentlemen who do very nice work. Only one of them is getting to work on turnovers because
the other one is doing active work orders. Mm-hmm.
Correct. The day-to-day stuff. And it's going really slow, and that's hindering our income intake as well.
It is, yes.
And I don't think we have the money to, as in the past, when we were on the footing, we were able to hire out until we got caught up.
Right. We did do that.
So... yes, and Danny was really effective in sitting down with them, giving them direction, and helping them out. And I don't know if it's been over there in a bit, so maybe that's another thing I need to explore.
Yeah, there should be some. I've been really glued to my desk and computer, but there has to be some sort of oversight on the progress for sure. I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So other than that, Khalid, we'll talk about how to get number 7, how to get the paperwork into a packet, and we'll go from there.
Perfect.
There is no executive session tonight, so if nobody else has anything to talk on, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Well, I'll make a
motion. I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
We're adjourned. It is 7:34. Thank you all so much. Dawn, thank you a million times over for coming.
You're Colin, welcome.
Colin, everybody have a good night. I'll be at Derby City Hall tomorrow, so I'll probably over to see you.
Pop on over. I'll be in the office all day, sir.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Right. Bye. Everybody.
Have a great night.
Bye. Good night.
We got this team.
Yes, we do.
Good night, Linda.
Guys, just recently again. Okay, I could mark that in.
Thank you. What did you say? You put it up to 70? I wanted to ask you. I didn't know, but my face was up there. Does that mean I was seeing it?
If it wasn't for the lights, your eyes would be cheeky, since I wouldn't see you.